Good morning, Councilman. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Again, yeah, District 1, there's a lot of stuff going on. Now, let's talk about this week. You took another step when it came to quiet zones in downtown Bryan, which is something that the city studied a while. Kind of bring us up to speed and how you feel about that.
Yes, sir. We had actually a unanimous decision on council, 7-0 vote, to actually give direction to our staff to implement the quiet zone. And in implementing the quiet zone, we're actually going to keep open the Grosbeck Railroad Crossing, which is actually the number two heaviest crossing in the city of Bryan. So over 8,000 vehicles a day use that crossing. We're also going to keep 15th Street Crossing open also. And that was huge for us. I know I've had a couple of town hall meetings, and the citizens in District 1 were adamant about keeping open Grosbeck Crossing. And for the council, you know, thank you to my fellow council members. Everyone voted on this. And trust me, it's... there's discussion, there's especially an executive, there's debates back and forth, but it's all handled in a professional manner. And I think people see that now on council. We have a great council in place. We're accomplishing a lot of goals that we've set out to accomplish. And this was one of them that really helped District 1. So I'm really happy and really proud of what we've done on council.
Yeah, I went to one of those. Yeah, people were engaged, there's no doubt.
Yes, sir.
But there's some expense involved. I mean, the city's going to have to look at that. That's going to cost some money. So where do those dollars come from, and how are you going to budget for that?
Actually, we will look. We had some of this budget, of course, in our CIP plan. And one of the goals that we as council wanted to do with the downtown quiet zone is actually move it up from a start date of 2022 to move it up to 2020. So this will actually increase or move forward the quiet zone by 2 years.
Well, and as a result, people get set in their ways. And I understand that that's the reason that the first thought was, yeah, let's close Grosbeck. And they're going, no, that's not, we don't want to do that.
Right.
So now when it comes to one of the things that I asked, I guess, with the mayor about the other day, there's going to be some work that's done on William Joe Bryan. And William Joe Bryan is, you know, in your district. But, you know, you've got some roads, some surface streets in single member District 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 that do need work. So why the priority there? Why aren't we looking at maybe doing work on surface streets using that money that's going to be used there?
Well, actually, Scott, I'm glad you brought that up. We were just talking about that yesterday and this morning with our city manager, Keene Register, Dr. Jason Barfnick. The FM 158, or William Joe Bryan, we're, as a city, are funding $2 million. The MPO, which is the Metropolitan Planning Organization, is funding the construction of $11 million. When we get into, you know, we're talking about the golf course and new development, everything that's going on, which is exciting. I'm smiling from ear to ear. We have so much exciting opportunity, growth, and development in the city of Bryan. However, if you look at what we have on the CIP plan, I can go down a list here that I brought. We have South College, which is, these are projects that are recently completed, in progress, or we're about to start on. And that list ranges from South College to 28th Street, 26th Street. We have two phases of Old Hearn Road. Woodville is going to start construction here pretty soon. We have Culture Street, and we actually just completed, or near completion, 23rd Street going into downtown Bryan. So if you add that cost up for all of these, Scott, it... right about $34.9 million, so $35 million that we're reinvesting into the current infrastructure or those surface streets that you said in the city of Bryan.
Ruben Marine here this morning, single-member District 1. Now, one of the other projects, which is very large, is redeveloping the old Bryan golf course, the Travis Bryan course, into a super park or some sort of a facility. Y'all have voted to spend money that I don't know if you have or not to have consultants come in first to then tell you to maybe spend money that you may or may not have in the near future. Where's the funding going to come from, first, to pay for the consultants, and secondly, you know, we don't know what they're going to come up with?
Well, actually, Scott, we're going to look at, of course, hot funds are going to be part of that to cover that cost. You know, we're going to do that construction or the super park once we get feedback from the citizens. Our Parks and Recreation Department are going to have open public meetings so we can get feedback. We want this to be a park, you know, for the citizens, that the citizens help design, their input. Of course, eventually, you know, this park is going to be used to bring in more tourism dollars, more tournaments. We want to set this park as apart from other parks in the area by having an indoor facility. We want to be able to host volleyball, basketball, cheer competitions, gymnastic competitions throughout the year. So that's something when we look at this, we want to be, I think at the last meeting, some people said the word prematurely we were bringing in this consulting firm. I'd like to use the word being prepared. I think we're going to be prepared, not premature on this, where we want to plan this out correctly and make sure we're utilizing that area the best we can to grow the city of Bryan and develop an area that truthfully hasn't been developed in over probably 20 years.
Well, yeah, if you take that edge of the park and actually extend all the way over to Carson, that's an entire area that may have a completely different look when this project is done. But we don't know what that look is going to be, and it may change even from what the – I mean, is it fair to say it may not even be what the consultants end up showing you?
That's true. But, I mean, the consultants are going to give us a great direction, a great idea, but ultimately it's going to be on council and city staff to determine how we want to grow that area.
Sure.
So we will definitely take that input from the consultant. That's what they do. You know, that's their job. That's their profession. So they'll give us good direction, and we'll be able to take that advice and work from there.
Sure. Ruben Marine here this morning, single member District 1. You announced that, and of course, the land for Briarcrest was given to the city, but
yes,
you've also agreed to basically make a $1 million commitment to Wallace Phillips to run that over the next 10 years. Plus, there's some money and inducements that go to him. All this predicated on the idea that you're going to be able to make money in that golf course. Do you think that Briarcrest course can make money in the first year?
Absolutely. I believe we will be close. Of course, I think we'll break even. And if we make money, that's a plus. If you look at what we were losing at the former municipal golf course, we were losing over $200,000 a year. So if we break even, you're actually kind of coming ahead $200,000 a year. And in having Wallace Phillips' team manage our course, they've been doing it. If we brought in another firm, they would have to work out some type of situation, some type of contract to rent the area that they use to collect green fees, the pro shop. So having them do it, it was at a lower cost, and it saved the city money using them versus another firm to come manage the Briarcrest.
Right. Am I right? Is tonight the first meeting about flood mitigation where the citizens are going to have an opportunity to once again put forth some ideas, or at least what their concerns would be as far as flood mitigation is concerned?
Yes, sir. This is the first, I believe, evening meeting. We've had one prior that was at 3 p.m. So overall, I want to say we have 6 or 7 meetings where the citizens can give feedback. 3 or 4 of those are in the afternoon, and then we have 3 that are in the evening at 6 p.m.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you, because you're the guy standing here, what good does it do to hear from citizens if you don't have the money in the CIP to pay for things that they might think need to be done in their neighborhoods? How do you balance that?
Great question.
How do you answer those people?
Actually, there's a lot of factors that go into that, Scott. I mean, the citizens want something done immediately, but there's other factors that go into that. You know, some of the creek beds we don't own an easement to. They're on private property, which we can't go on and correct. The ones that we can, we're going to do it as soon as possible. And we can hopefully divert funds in areas that really need it and are in desperate need that have flooding issues. So I think we can work with that, work with the citizens, get their input on what they would like to see us do.
Good. Okay. Anything you got for us today that you want to share that we haven't covered that is important to you? Yeah, I've given you plenty, that's for sure. We've covered a few things this morning. Scott used to be such a nice guy, and then I went in there and he started asking me these questions.
No, Scott, this was great. I mean, you covered everything on my list. Good. Definitely the downtown quiet zone, the Grosbeck Crossing, the Super Park, which I'm so excited. I think us, the city, we're just super excited about having something centrally in Bryan, where we bring citizens in. You know, they're less than a mile from downtown. They're less than a mile from Texas A&M University, and it's just a central location to bring in people from all over the state, you know, to come into our town, and we're very excited and looking forward to that development.
Yeah. And for my part, it's good to hear about things in town. We've talked about the West and Rellis, and we're all excited about that, and there's going to be development in the East, and we're excited about that, but we do need to talk about our core every once in a while, so
right.
I'm glad we did that.
And one more thing, downtown, the revitalization, I mean, that is just moving forward. We have developments in place right now for the north end of downtown Bryan. If you look at the Perry Project, which is on the corner of 23rd Street and Main Street, you're going to have retail space, commercial space on the first floor. You're going to have residential development on the top, the second and third floor. Mm-hmm. We have another project that's in the work, you know, north into downtown Bryan. So we're just excited about the growth, the revitalization. I don't want to steal Councilman Hardeman's thunder, but the Queen Theater's grand opening is May 4th.
Yeah.
And, you know, kudos to the Downtown Bryan Association, Sandy Ferris, Councilman Hardeman. They have worked so hard to get the Queen Theater, you know, to this grand opening date of May 4th.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for the time this morning.
Yes, sir.